Hey, hey, happy Sunday, or maybe a sad Sunday, depending on what side of the fence you sit on here. This is the 10th episode of The Main Event. My name is Jack Wallace, of course, as always joined by my co-host, Egg Footy. Egg, mate, how are you doing on this lovely Sunday?
Not bad. Bit down. Last night was pretty shit ass, but
yeah,
that's how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those games, man. Like, we're going to crack it into it very shortly. Obviously, our game against Geelong in a fucking, I don't know, torrential rain. It was disgusting. You were at the ground, so you'll be able to tell me a bit more about the weather. But yeah, bit of a down one last night. But I just want to point out as well, this is probably the quickest turnaround for an episode we're ever going to do. And not to mention as well, we've got another game coming up this Thursday. So a fair bit of podcasting to do over the next week, but it's exciting, man. Obviously getting to talk all things Lions, but as per usual, guys, before we do get started, go give us a follow or a review on our Spotify, and let us know, give us your feedback as well. We will read out in the show. Haven't had one in a while now, but that's all good. We will definitely read those, and I'll keep checking them for when we do get them. And of course, on Apple Podcasts as well, if you go give us a review, I'll read one of those out too. 5 stars only, though, of course. But let's just get straight into this one here. There's a fair bit here to break down. Of course, throughout the show here, we're going to be having a chat about some wet weather footy. A bit on Will Ashcroft as well, for those that are curious on our thoughts on that and maybe where he's at. If you've been out of the loop, stick around. And of course, heaps more to do with the tribunal and all the fun stuff. So straight off the bat, mate, how's the past week been for you? I know you've had a pretty fucking shitty few days at some point during this week, and maybe last night didn't exactly help you, but yeah, what's been going on, man? How you been feeling? Mate, tell me about it. Tell me about the past week.
Yeah, so I ended up, we recorded last Monday, and I went to the gym immediately after. I had a really good workout, was feeling really strong, and then as I get back that night, I just get gastro out of nowhere. Like, it takes a few days to set in. I know that for a fact, but it does. Like, I went from feeling great to just like feeling the worst,
yeah,
in a matter of hours. And then like, I just pretty much spent all Monday night dry heaving, pretty much.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, going out both sides. If you feel my meaning.
Yeah, I get you.
Wasn't yeah. Tuesday was pretty much the same thing. Wednesday was a bit better, but still felt a bit shit. And then like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I was still trying to get myself healthy again, progressively getting better until eventually, like, I'm pretty much fine. Like, I'm back to normal diet, normal everything. Like, yep. I was dealing with some constipation for a while there. I don't want to get into details, but yeah, that's all been resolved, which is a big relief.
Yeah, massive relief. Dude, like, that's my worst fucking fear, like, just catching gastro. Like, it's not the best topic for us to start off with, but it's just the reality of life, and it just happens. Like, just, it's my worst fucking fear, man. It's one thing I just never want to live through ever again if I can, but you know how it is, man. But at least put it this way, you're probably safe from gastro for a fair while now. Your stomach is fucking probably going to be prepared, and your immune system too, so happy days on that one. And hey, man, like, you're ready just in time to get to the Gabba last night in the pissing rain and fucking watching probably one of the worst like games of footy like I've seen all season. I mean, for me, Freo and Adelaide take the cake on that one. Like, that's the shittest game of footy I've seen this season. But oh my God, last night was absolutely just unbelievable. I don't know what to really make of it. It's really hard to look into this game, but we're going to do our best to do so here and see what we can come up with. So obviously, you were better just in time for the game. Tell us about that night, though. Like, I mean, we ended up going down to Geelong 4-13-37, which is our, I think that's our lowest ever score at the Gabba, to Geelong's 9-9-63. So, honestly, that scoreline just sort of paints the picture on how this game sort of just played out. Super low scoring, super wet weather footy. And, I mean, how was it for you at the ground? I mean, I hope you brought a poncho.
We actually weren't too bad. We're like, our member seats were pretty much undercover. I don't think I got wet the entire, like, I got wet walking back to our car that we park down the road. There's a weird setup at the with the Gabba. Like, if you want to park your car, you have to park in the street, like, 10-minute walk away from the Gabba, and like you have to have a residence permit. Now we don't live there, but like luckily we have a friend who does, and they let us borrow their permit so we can park there and don't have to worry about public transport and shit. So like walking back I got wet, but like for the rest of the game I was pretty much dry.
Yeah,
which is a relief. We were on the right side near the interchange bench, but like you could just see across the ground everybody else is getting drenched.
Yeah,
so
like you could see, yeah, like you could see on TV,
which is good.
Yeah, like it's fucking, like, it was absolutely insane, just the weather. Like I haven't seen it like this for any of our home games for as long as I can remember personally. I'm sure we've had some absolute shocking games in some crazy weather out there before at the Gabba, but this was a first for me, and it just showed a lot in sort of how the game was played. You could tell it was affecting not just the game itself, but the players a lot as well. And usually a lot of footy players, they don't sort of budge to wet weather very well. Like they're not affected by it as much, but in this game you could just see like it was such a pain in the ass for everyone on the field that night, and you could even see on TV as well that like all of the seats were empty. So like was everyone like, did everyone just leave their seats and go stand like by the bar? Like how does what do they do in this instance? I haven't been to a game with this crazy weather before.
I've been to one previous where we're sitting in a different area, basically, yeah, a bit down lower, and you basically just like cower in the outside area pretty much and wait for the rain to stop. And the last time we had rain at the Gabba was round 4 or 5 2021. It was Essendon. It was Joe's first game against the Bombers, I believe.
Yeah, right.
Since coming to the Brisbane Lions. So it's been that long since we've had rain. So it doesn't surprise me that all that much that the players were really affected by it, because like we don't have rain that much up here. We don't have wet weather games that often. We're a notoriously dry state, dry and hot state. So wet weather and cold aren't normally factors. And yeah, just you could tell.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know what it really was like about like this game, but it's just, obviously the weather's the biggest factor. And by far, like, I could probably all but guarantee at the moment as well, like, if the weather was the typical Brisbane weather, just dry weather game, I think this scoreline not only would have been a lot higher, but it just would have been a better game overall. And who knows, the result may have gone in our favour, but obviously I'm not going to blame the weather for our loss here. We just suck at playing wet weather footy. And we're going to talk a lot about wet weather footy very shortly here, and probably get stuck into that. But yeah, it's just, this is a very, very hard game to read into, man, because it's just like you don't know if the players were off or if the weather was just affecting them, or hey, maybe Geelong are actually that damn good. But I honestly wasn't impressed by Geelong at all either. I mean, everyone's sort of just like, well, they played the wet weather better, which is true, but I didn't think they really played that well either. And to be honest with you, I thought that they were pretty shocking from their standard. But that being said, of course, the weather. That's unfortunately going to be the running theme of this episode and review, is it's very hard to read into this because the weather. You don't get a true indication on it. But that's not an excuse at all for our loss here. We copped the loss, and we've sort of got to own it here at this point in the season and just move on with it, man. It's a tough one, and it sucks to swallow this one, but it is what it is, man. Hell of a weird game, but yeah, dude, it was crazy. I mean, there was rumors as well that the game was going to be stopped at like 8 o'clock your time, to in case lightning came close to the ground. Like, was there any lightning at all when you were there? Like, did you see this during the game, or like, what was it, just pissing down with rain the whole time?
It was pretty much just pissing down rain the entire time. I didn't see anything about lightning. Like, it was pretty okay throughout the rest of the whole day. Like, there wasn't a heck of a lot of rain in our area, but then they get like the Gabba. When we get to the Gabba, it just started pissing down. Didn't look fun.
Yeah, it looked like me in Perth, it hasn't rained here. It's rained one day in like the last 6 months over here. So it's just like I was kind of jealous that you guys were getting such a nice night of just rain, like just constant rain. But fuck, I did not envy anyone at the ground. I did not envy the players. Normally I've got FOMO for not being at the Gabba during one of our home games, but this weekend, man, I was just like, fuck that. I am glad I'm not at the Gabba. But that being said, dude, it would have been still, you know, getting down there and supporting the boys. Like, I'm still stoked that so many people did. You know, there was still a fair few people in the crowd. I even saw like a lot of people on TV, like that were still sat in like the outdoor area, like in some of the seats. There wasn't many of them, but they were out there. So hats off to those troopers, man, because, you know, they had to watch this game in that weather and they toughed it out, dude. So hats off to them. But yeah, it's a really weird game, this one, man. I don't even know where to really start. I mean, just from the get-go, like, it was like we were trying to play dry weather footy in wet weather conditions. Like, a lot of the chain handballs, it's like we sort of forgot how to kick, which I know that's generally our style, is a lot of just chain handballing, a lot of sort of quick possessions and stuff like that, but it just doesn't work in that weather. The ball just looks so slippery, and when you got guys just constantly dropping marks, I mean, I saw so many Geelong players drop chest marks, man. Like, oh, fuck, we probably did too. The only person out there that could actually mark a ball was... what's his name? Tyson Stengel, man. He was taking some absolute grabs out there, and everyone else just couldn't catch a break at all, man. Like, and even Neil, like, he'd be busting out of packs and just losing the ball because it's just so slippery. Like, God, it looked like such a frustrating night for the players, man. I couldn't imagine how it would have, like, been at the ground. Like, a lot of, like, Geelong supporters come out and show up and in throughout all the conditions as well. Like, what was sort of, like, the vibe at the ground, like, throughout the night?
They did pretty well. The atmosphere was okay. It wasn't too. It was a little bit less, but like it was still it was okay. You know, yeah. People still got up and about, but just yeah,
yeah, like just less
cowering in the bar, as we said.
Yeah, just around the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been like some long lines for drinks. I mean, look, at least everyone's at the bar at that point. You don't need to actually like get up out of your seat, go trek for a drink. You're all sort of in the one area, but fuck, just really interesting night of football. And I'll be the first to admit as well, like I was so like in two minds in this game because it was like on one monitor, I had the derby on because obviously in WA, the derby's like the biggest thing here. And me being a radio student, I kind of got to cover it. So I had to watch both games, man. It was sort of a... God, it was a bit of a relief in some ways, and I hate saying this as well because obviously my Lions come first always, but at some stage, man, at some point I was just like, I don't know if I can do this game anymore. Like, it was so... God, I don't know how many different ways I can say this, dude. Like, it was just really... It was a grind to watch just as much as it would have been a grind to play. But that being said, there were still some positives to take from this, man. I actually think some guys were pretty impressive. I think Jared Berry's probably played one of his best games of the season. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal in the weather. And it can make sense, man. He's a Country Vic boy. So from memory, I think Horsham off the top of my head. So, man, he knows the weather pretty well. Whereas everyone else sort of struggled to play their game style. But again, like... The boys training in Queensland, you know, as you said, Queensland notorious for being dry. It was sort of something I half expected as soon as I saw the forecast. So it's not a game I'm not going to, you know, beat myself up about or be in my feels about and just feel like shit about because there's no point. It's a really hard game, this one. So what are you making of this game and the result, man? Are you are you alarm bells or are you sort of feeling like me? Where it's just like, what can we fucking do about the situation?
Well, I'm kind of like numb to it now. Like, it's going to be one of those seasons. Like, shit's just not going to go our way. We saw that with Oscar going out with an injury in the game. Again, like, there's not a whole lot you can read from a wet weather game. You just sort of like hope you can get through uninjured and potentially with a win. We didn't have any ACLs, so like that's a fucking positive because like you'd think wet weather footy plus whatever the fuck is up with the Gabba, like you'd think that like that is a recipe for disaster. But yeah, it was a weird game. Like I don't really know what to make of it. I don't really know what to make of Brisbane's season. I don't think it's weird because like we have one of the hardest fixtures in the comp, so like wins are fucking hard, and like when you don't bring your best, like sometimes like it just you can't rely on the other team not showing up. And I think Geelong definitely adapted better to the wet weather towards the end of the game. Like we started off okay, like we didn't look too bad towards the start. Like I thought we were gonna have a good night, and then like by second third quarter it's just like okay, fuck. And then, yeah, I couldn't really watch the fourth quarter. I just like walked out and sat on my phone, waited for my mum to come join me out of her seat. We left a bit earlier to beat the traffic, especially in the wet weather. Like it's a bit fucking gnarly. I saw one lady unfortunately have to get put in a wheelchair and taken away by the medicos because she slipped over in the near one of the food areas, which is unfortunate. And my mum's 60 something years old, so like I prefer she has like a bit less walking, a bit less foot traffic to contest with, especially when it's like slippery.
Yeah.
So that was probably that was the first time since 2021 that I've oh no, sorry, excuse me. That is the first time since round 23 versus Melbourne in 2022. I've left a game at the Gabba early.
That game in 2022, I cannot fucking blame you for, my man. That is, even I turned that one off early, but it's a tough one, dude. Like, as you said, like, it was sort of like, I thought we were in for a good night as well. You know, like, during the second quarter, the game was super slow, but I was sitting there, I was just like, you know what? I actually don't mind this. I felt like we just had so much control of the majority of the game, we had control, but it was just like, we couldn't convert in front of goal. I mean, we saw, was it Jasper Fletcher? I think he missed right in front, like from the square, just hit the post. Someone just, did it.
That's shit-ass luck though. Like,
yeah, just that slippery ball, man. Like, it's just, what can you do, dude? Like, it was such I put this night down to being a massive anomaly because it's just the weather. I know if we come against the Cats again, like, I think it would be a much different story in terms of game, like the game itself and even maybe the result. I don't know if we could beat them. Of course, they are absolutely flying. I still, as I say every week, I think our best can beat anyone, but I think as well, like with Geelong, we'd be able to take it to them, and shit, man, we did for probably about 2.5-3 quarters of Saturday night. So it's just like, I think if we, putting it down to anomaly, it is a bit of a cop-out on my half, but it's just like sort of the best way I can sort of see this game. And I mean, Geelong were the rightful winners here. They're the ones that showed up in the last quarter and didn't let the situation and the weather sort of, you know, affect them as much as it did with us. But again, like, you know, Geelong is also a very wet place. These boys are probably no strangers to this type of weather. So Geelong probably should have ended up running away with this one when you really break it down. But generally, man, I didn't think we were that bad. We sort of just tried to make the best we... I think the boys made the best they could in the situation they were in with the weather. I'm going to say that so much today with the weather. And I promise you it's not an excuse. But yeah, I just... It's a really hard one to read into, as you're sort of saying here. We don't know if it's a case of, like, if we lost on Saturday night because it's a case of us playing like shit, or if it's a mental thing, or if it's just as simple as the weather. I guess we're going to find that out on Thursday when we take on GWS, which we will preview later in the show. We will definitely see where we're at. I don't think the season's over. I sort of think we're in the same spot as we were about a week ago in terms of our season. I think that win against Melbourne was monumental, but we have to also take advantage of that momentum that we may have gotten from that win against the D's. But I think they brought it into this game okay as well. So it's just, again, how many times do I have to fucking say it? The weather, bro. The weather. But we won't waste too much time on this game, man. There's not too much we can really say about it. I mean, if you've got anything you want to add to it, go ahead, man. If there's anything you like seeing out there, then yeah, go for it. But for me, man, it was like sort of like I just sort of tuned out in the middle of like probably the end, near the end of the third quarter. I was just like, oh, this is screwed, man. We're already like 4-10 by this point. And it was just like, all right, like if the Lions are already only kicking 4 goals across 3 quarters, you may as well just wrap it up because we're a high scoring team. We kick a lot of goals in our games. And for us to only kick 4 goals the entire game and only have basically all of them kicked by the 3-quarter time, it was just like, shit, I don't know if I want to keep watching this. It was a really hard watch. And as I said earlier, I ended up just tuning into the Derby, which I was absolutely stoked with the result of that one. But we can talk about that one near the end of the show. Do you have a main eventer of the week for this week?
Yes, I do. Jared Berry. I'm kind of, I know I might be stealing yours, but like Jared Berry, he played incredible and you could see it at the ground. Like he was one of the only people who really stood up and swayed the contest, kicked a goal, which was awesome. Like I couldn't watch it as he was lining up.
Yeah.
At that point in the game, but yeah, like he kept us in it. I'd argue, and yeah, we need him up and about and doing well. I think going forward, especially like with Zach Bailey out for a month and a bit, he's invaluable, and I think him in a very frustrating night, he was something to really appreciate and enjoy. And it's a massive, one of the early massive positives for tonight, I'd reckon.
Yeah, 100%, man. Like I was just so impressed by Jared Berry. And again, like, you are right. He's also my main event of the week. We're sort of agreeing on this one here together. I feel like he just stood up and he didn't let anything about the game affect him whatsoever, whether it was the opponents he was playing or, again, the fucking weather. He was just so composed throughout the night. And, dude, he also kicked a goal, as you said. He had 29 touches, which is, I dare say, would be close to one of the most he's had in a game. But, yeah, the one goal, too, 29 touches. You can't complain about that from a Jared Berry game, man, especially with the feedback he's been getting over the past few weeks, man. A lot of people have been sort of letting him know what they think of his game. And to be honest, I think that's two games in a row where Bez has stepped up and he's, you know, just been absolutely phenomenal for us. So, yeah, hats off to Bev there and, Bez. And, fuck, that's my main adventure of the week as well. I think this is the second time in a row we've actually had the same one. I know we've done it already, but yeah, just Jared Berry, man, what a game by him. Getting into wet weather footy, outside of the Lions actually sucking at it, do you enjoy a bit of wet weather footy?
Depending on where I'm sitting, it can be fun to watch. It's not good playing.
Yeah,
I've had a few wet weather games in my time, and it's always dog shit. Like, yeah. The ball will literally just slide out of your hand and just fuck off, and like, there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it. The last wet weather game I played in, it was like 0 goals, 0 points to 0 goals, 1 point at quarter time.
Oh my god.
And it's just like, fuck, like, it's just, and it's impossible to hold on to the footy, it's impossible to pick it up, it's impossible to like really do anything. So it's just, yeah, it's not fun to play in.
Yeah, it sucks to play into. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I was a bit of a pussy. Like, I would, I remember even when it would be training and we'd have, you know, a bit of rain, I'd be like, my old man was the coach. I'm totally outing myself here as a fucking absolute bitch. But like, my old man was the coach, and like, we'd be at footy training and it's pissing down with rain, and I'd just go run into his car and just go sit there for the rest of the session. And looking back on it, it was just like, why not just embrace it, man? Because like, as I got older, I actually enjoyed it a lot. You know, just sliding around, like, knowing what I know now about, like, you know, getting sick and everything, I wouldn't be doing the same shit I was doing back then. But it's just like, I used to really enjoy like training in the weather and playing in it. But when I was a bit younger, man, absolute bitch when it came to it. But in terms of the games, man, it's just, it's really hard to actually just use your skills because the ball is so heavy and it's so slippery. Like, trying to kick a wet ball full of water, by the way, absolutely sucks. It feels like you break your foot on it. And it's just, that's just the joy of playing local footy or junior footy or amateur footy, wherever you're at. That's just the, that's the joy of it, because you're playing rain, hail, or sunshine. Do you enjoy watching wet weather footy on the other hand? Because honestly, I'm a massive fan of it personally. I loved the Geelong Hawthorn game from a couple of weeks ago, but taking this one out of the equation, I generally love it. I don't know if maybe it was just because we were playing that I was a bit more critical of it, but I'm generally massive on wet weather footy. Do you enjoy watching it?
Again, it depends on where you're sitting. If you're at the game and you're in a spot where you can get wet, it's not very fun. If you're at home, warm and dry, watching it on KO, it's a different story. Like, yeah, like you said, the long Hawthorn game was pretty good to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, like, again, like, it's in person, it's not the best experience, but it has a place in the game for sure.
Yeah, I think the wettest game I ever experienced was like in person at an AFL game, was because I haven't been to a proper pisser, and the one game I did go to where it actually like just rained a little bit and was like drizzling pretty much was against was GWS versus Sydney at Optus Stadium during the COVID season. 2,000 people in that stadium tops. And you've been there, you know what it's like when there's 40,000 people there. Now imagine it with just 2,000 people all sat in different rows, all down in one end of the stadium. It was just a weird night. A lot of fun though, man, but it did drizzle pretty much all night long, which, I mean, wasn't bad. You barely noticed it, but it was just like, I mean, that's my story for attending a live game with a bit of weather. But yeah, man, I don't know. This is a really tough one. So let's hope it's sunny next time in Brisbane, next time we got to play at the Gabba. On to some better news though here. On to some exciting news, more so. Even though I don't have any confirmation here. So there's nothing to actually really be excited about, but my main man, Will Ashcroft. So those who don't know, Will Ashcroft is probably my favorite player on our list. Like, I don't know what it is. I've just been obsessed with the guy ever since he's come to the Lions. And so the idea of his return is super, super exciting for me. Now, where we go next from here is, how far off do we think Will Ashcroft is? Now, keeping in mind, he did his ACL in July of last year, I believe, or it might have been very, very early August, but I think it was July. 22nd of July, we had the Lions confirm that Will Ashcroft had ruptured his ACL, or suffered an ACL. It was a rupture. So ACLs are normally there about 8, 9, 10... 10-ish to 11 months, depending on who you are, your body, you obviously your history and stuff like that. So for say a guy like Tom Duday, you'd probably take a little bit longer to come back from it. With a guy like Will Ashcroft, who's as young as he is and as healthy and professional as he is in terms of the way he takes care of his body for someone his age, you probably expect he'll come back a little bit earlier. Now, it has now been 10 months since Will had done his ACL, which, fuck me, time flies. Do you think we would be expecting Will back? Better question, when do you think we should start to really get excited and be expecting Will Ashcroft to return to the side?
When he's 100% and he's no danger of re-injuring himself. Like, at this point in the season, just like, don't take any stupid risks and make sure, like, when he comes back, like, he's ready to come back. I don't want another situation where, like, Duday, where he just like fucking re-tears it randomly out of nowhere at a training session. Like, he needs to be ready to go. He needs to be good. Yeah. Like, that's the priority here. Like, fuck a premiership, fuck all that other shit. Like, he's the future of this footy club, and we can't jeopardize that at all.
Yeah, absolutely, bang on, mate. I don't know, because it's a hard one, because it's like, we've had a lot of these sort of situations with some of our players. Like, obviously, we had Hippie a couple of years ago at Rainer as well. It was either shortly before that or shortly after that, and it was just like, I think from memory, we had Hippie returning a bit early. And I remember from memory, it was sort of just like, I was freaking out a little bit about it. Because it's like, hang on, like, this dude's fucking like, yeah, he's young, but he's just done his first ACL. Like, are we really going to? Because I remember the articles were sort of a bit like, oh, Eric Hipwood looking to make a shock early return from ACL injury, something like that. I don't want to see the same thing for Will, basically, because I think, as you said, Will is the future of our club, and we cannot have that man have a dodgy knee. We need that man to be fit and firing, especially for the future. You know, this year, sure, he's probably not going to see a lot of, like, you know, a lot of game time this year before, by the time he gets back. Like, for me, it's probably not going to be until about August, maybe July, that we see him back. You're going to get, in my eyes, you give Will the full year. But it's just, it's a hard one, dude. It's a really hard one. And from what I've heard as well, I don't think he's also even returned to training or anything yet. I don't see him training with the squad yet on, like, you know, club social media or anything like that. I might be blind and someone else may have seen it. Maybe you've even seen it, but I personally haven't seen shit. So I'd expect at this point he's not even actively training yet. So you just about rule him out returning in the next few weeks. But
oh, God.
I'd be fucking terrified of that. But as much as I want to see the dude back, and hopefully for me, I'm hoping it's for the Perth game against the Eagles, because I'd love to see him play in person and maybe even meet him at open training or whatever. But that also may be a bit too soon. So as you said, dude, I'm 100% with you on this one. Just when he's ready, guys. Let's make sure the club gets it right, because this is, I don't know how to tell you how heartbroken I would be if he, you know, first game back or even in a training session, you know, the same thing as Duday basically happens. Like, they've said he's available for selection. We're all hyped up. We're excited as fuck. And then bang, ACL again. I would be absolutely gutted. And you'd be actually, by the time he gets back, you'd be pushing on nearly 3 years since he would have been able to play any footy. So yeah, man, it's a rough one. Let's hope the club get it right. But super excited to see him come back, man. If I was going to put a time frame on it, probably late July for me personally. That's when I'd probably start to get comfortable with the idea. But I think this is a guy we need to bubble wrap for sure. I'm sure you feel the same way. Just bubble wrap the kid and let's make sure he's all good to go before he actually steps foot back on the park. On that one there. So another thing I want to move on to next is, this one is honestly hilarious to me, is how Charlie Cameron got off at the tribunal. Now, I don't think he should have got done at all. Personally, I think it was a pretty good tackle. And of course, Jake Lever ended up getting off fine. I think we went into a bit of a depth about this last week, so we won't touch too much on what actually happened. You know, go look up Charlie Cameron tackle on Jake Lever if you're really interested. Charlie Cameron obviously went to the tribunal over the week to get his suspension and also the appeal and all that sort of stuff. All the jazz happens during the week. And Charlie Cameron got off on a good guy clause, basically. A good bloke clause is what they've said. And what that means is they're just referencing the fact that Charlie Cameron has had a clean record. He's not someone who's usually, you know, getting caught up in all this. And he doesn't even, you know, he's not been one to be known to give dangerous tackles or, you know, tackle dangerously or anything like that. He's a clean man. He's a clean man on young Charlie. Now, what do you make of this one? Because a lot of fans out there, particularly ones from opposition clubs, are pretty pissed off about it. And they're making some memes and all sorts of stuff, which, by the way, I'm absolutely loving the stuff the Giants are putting out about this. But what are you making of this one, and how are you feeling about it? Obviously, it's sick Charlie came back, by the way.
Yeah, it's great. It didn't make a heck of a lot of difference on the weekend, so it didn't really matter after all that. But he deserved to get off. I think it's karma for the Cripps Archie debacle in 2022, I think. It's a bizarre situation. I don't know a heck of a lot of how the tribunal do shit. I think some of the media attention was a bit ridiculous, a bit oversaturated, but that's how footy media works. Like they're parasites, you know, like they hook onto anything and everything that's a fucking story. Look at the Lions Vegas bullshit that was happening a few weeks ago, and now that's completely vanished now that we started winning games. It was very annoying, very frustrating to deal with, but hopefully after the weeks going by and there's fresh tribunal shit happening this week with Hogan and Green from GWS, I think hopefully people just forget about it and move on.
Yeah, I hope so too, man, because it's just sort of just stupid. Like, I feel like Charlie's not the first person in the comp at all. Like, but I'm sure we've probably had like 10 other situations just this year alone where we've had guys just getting off. Obviously, the 10 different situations, exaggeration for those that are about to come on my neck. But it's I feel like it's not the first case this year where someone's going to get off just due to their past record. And to be honest, I think that's a fair enough sort of assessment as well when you're trying to sort of book these guys, whether you're trying to give them a suspension or get them off one. I think just looking at their history is a great indicator as to how you sort of go about it. Footy is a very competitive, fast-paced sport. It's different, but I play Rocket League, and I say the same thing when Rocket League players get angry at me. I'm just like, dude, this is a competitive, fast-paced sport. Sorry for making a fucking mistake. And in Charlie Cameron's case, it's, hey, sorry that I've got all this adrenaline pumping through me, and sorry that I'm competitive. I just really wanted the fucking ball. I wasn't trying to hurt you. There's a lot of stuff like that, man. And Fags ended up going bang on this as well, because Fags obviously had the press conference, or like just the interview with the media about it over the next day, and basically just told the journo to just don't interview me. Which was probably like the best way that Fags could have said it. And we know Fags is like this nice old like granddad sort of figure for not just the boys, but us Lions fans as well. Like, we all look up to Fags like he's our granddad or whatever. And he's not a guy that you see often get snappy or get pissed off, but even he was just like, nah, fuck this. He didn't even go off on the journey. He was actually really good about it. So go check the clip out if you haven't. I'm trying to find a quick quote here. So it was like, when you go to the tribunal, use everything at your disposal to try and free up your player, which is something every club does. If a bloke's got a good record, he's played 200 games, and he's never been suspended for a match, you would at least give that a mention, I'd think. Otherwise, you'd be remiss in your duty to that player. That's all Fags said on the matter. And that's his justification for using that argument in the tribunal.
And it's like, what the fuck are you pressing Fags for? Like, he didn't do anything. He's completely separate from the tribunal process. Coaches have nothing to do with it. So, like, he said something along the lines of interview the tribunal, like, and I imagine by this point, like, he's absolutely over it. Like I said, the coverage around this was fucking ridiculous. So he's probably just like sick of it. One of his players is getting attacked by the entire footy media because they fucking hate Brisbane. Yeah. And now he's got this fuckwit in his face at a press conference pressing him about it. Like, I'd be pissed off as well. So I don't have any problem with what he did. I don't have any problem with Fagan. People were calling for his head after the loss this weekend, which is fucking ridiculous.
It's so dumb.
They used the loss combined with him snapping at the journo as evidence, talking about how there's this one guy on Twitter, the Brisbane Bear, who put out a thing after the fact saying will Chris Fagan see out the year? And I quote tweeted saying, yes, he will. You're a fool and you're a fucking dickhead for suggesting otherwise. And he replies to it saying, with a quote from Akamatis criticizing the coaches at Brisbane. Now I love Akamatis to pieces. What he's done for this footy club speaks for itself. But like, if he's your source of information, like, man, like, come on,
dude.
Like,
I was just facepalming then for about 15 seconds because every time, like, I've had to block the Brisbane Bear across all social media at this point.
I'm just gonna say it
because I haven't said this publicly before, and every time I've wanted to say something to this guy, it's always sort of been online in a public forum, and I'm like, probably not. But I will say this about the Brisbane Bear. First of all, I'm not surprised he's got such a shitty opinion. Now, I don't know the bloke who runs this page, and I'm sure he's a fucking great dude. Like, you know, he supports a great club. He's got good taste. This man got taste. Yeah. But the shit he posts online is absolutely unbelievable. And to be honest with you, like, what really insults me about him is, like, this... and this is no disrespect to anyone out there whose loyalty sits with the Bears. Obviously, I'm a Fitzroy man, so my feelings towards the Brisbane Bear... Not the Bears, the Bear, the page. Obviously, sits a bit deep, so... Because I'm always seeing this guy sort of post about how terrible the away jumper is for the red one. And he's always trying to talk about how, like, this club is just the Bears. The Fitzroy have nothing to do with it. It's just the Brisbane Bears and the Brisbane Lions. And he's always trying to, like, shit on the Fitzroy history. And it's like, mate, like, you got to be proud of your history. And this is a guy that's not proud at all. Like, he's always banging on about having more Bears jumpers. And by the way, I love more Bears jumpers. I love the gold and maroon just by itself. I fucking love it. It is so hot. But... come on, dude. We've got to honor both sides here. And that's just the biggest thing I can't handle about him. The Brisbane Bear is just such an insufferable human being. And it's honestly sad because, again, as I said, I'm sure he's a good dude. And he's got great fucking taste. You know, he supports the greatest club in the comp. But it's disheartening because he causes so much, like... he causes so much divide in our beautiful club, man. Because, you know, we got two different fan bases coming here to do the impossible, you know? And he sort of just... he does everything he can to alienate Fitzroy fans and just the image of Fitzroy from our club. You know, he just does that all the time. And he seems to forget, like, we have such a rich history because you've brought the two clubs together. It's not Fitzroy propping up Brisbane and Brisbane not propping up Fitzroy. We've come together as a merger. We're like this. And this guy just does his absolute best thing he can to sort of break that and just throw Fitzroy in the mud. And it's just... sorry, I went in a bit of a tangent there and went off topic, but it just fucking... genuinely triggers me.
If I may, like you said, like, we're on the same team. Like, we all follow the same club. But I love the Bears as much as the next guy. I've made entire fucking documentaries about the Brisbane Bears and their history. But, like, alienating a football... a fan base who's already... as alienated and as jaded and as cynical as you could possibly be, given what happened to their footy club, like, if you're alienating them and, like, fucking pushing back against that, like, it's just, I don't agree with that at all. And, like, combine that with the fact, like, obviously Fitzroy is going to have more of an emphasis than the Bears. Like, you're looking at, like, 100-something years of history compared to, like, 10 years of nothing, a few finals appearances in 95 and 96 and a reserves premiership in 1990 or 1991, and also that one time we got belted by like 200 points by Geelong at Carrara. Like, it's not really a competition compared to 11 premierships and being one of the foundation clubs. Like, it's just not really a competition.
Yeah, it's really disheartening, man. Like, and it's just insulting, to be honest with you. It's not the way that this man should be operating his page. Like, and I would love to support his page, man. I consume as much Lions content as I possibly can, but it's just the Brisbane Bears where I draw the line, man. Like, and I'm all for honoring the Bears, dude. Like, fuck, we use Dare to Beat the Bears, our theme song, for God's sake. Like, I'm all for honoring the Bears, dude. You got to do both sides, but it's just the Brisbane Bear, dude. It's just, I can't. I actually can't with him. He's just, he complains even the fact that we play games in Victoria. And it's just like, well, of course we do. Like, we're still half a Victorian club. Like,
it's a Victorian fucking football league.
Yeah.
Still, like, they can call it the AFL all they want, but it's still a Victorian football league. Like, that's going to fucking happen.
It's always going to happen. Like, while there's 8 teams in our competition that play in Victoria, that's just unavoidable. And that's just the way it is.
It's 10.
10? Shit.
It's 10, I think. Right. Yeah, 10. Like, fuck. 8 interstate. I can't. Yeah, you can't Geelong, obviously, because Geelong's still Victoria. Frio, West Coast, Port, Crows, GWS, Sydney, Gold Coast, Brisbane. No, fuck.
Let's go up the ladder.
Brisbane, Gold Coast, Sydney, GWS, Port, Adelaide, and West Coast, and Fremantle. Sorry, I miscounted. My bad. I'm retarded. But yeah, like it's just, yeah, 10 fucking Victorian teams, and like the grand finals played at the MCG for like the next billion years. Like you got to accept, like, that's going to be a fucking thing that happens. Like,
yeah, absolutely. On. It's definitely like we've just got to sort of accept our shortcomings when it comes to you know, anything to do with Victoria. Well, we are playing in the VFL after all. Well, technically the AFL nowadays, but that's the thing. Like, it's not like we're playing in the SANFL. We're not playing in the DeWaffle. You know, we're playing in the VFL, which is the league that decided, well, not didn't decide, it's the one that became the biggest. I'm trying to find the Brisbane Fair page to quote a few posts, but I've blocked him and I'm not unblocking him, so I'll just leave that for the time being. But you just got to honor both sides, man. It's just really disheartening and really insulting every single time I see him sort of, you know, talk shit about the legacy and the history of our club. Especially when I'm family members with so many fucking people that went through the merger. You know, they were heartbroken. My dad didn't watch any football until the three-peat. You know, he didn't watch any football for so many years. And he was the, you know, biggest staunch Lions man ever. Like, he's got a story about how he was at the Wacker in 1992 and watched Alistair Lynch kick like 9 goals on the West Coast Eagles. Like, just so many memories like that, man. Just such awesome shit. Like, he's got photos of him at the very last Fitzroy game, both in Melbourne and in Perth. There's just so many little things like that. And it's just, I know what these people went through. And I guess it's really insulting when he starts... just sort of putting down the club and saying the history doesn't mean shit. And it's just like, hey, mate, you wouldn't even have this club without Fitzroy. So just, I needed to rant about that the moment you started fucking talking about him, because I was just like, oh no, like, he's insufferable. I had a fucking run-in with him as recent as 2 weeks ago. And I think that's like when I eventually blocked him on Instagram as well, because I just couldn't do it anymore, man. Just couldn't do it. It's super insulting. But back on the topic of Fags going bang, I mean, yeah, I think he just said the right thing. I think he handled it perfectly. And to be honest, if I'm Fags, I'd be kind of getting sick of the media's shit. Fags has been copping it for a fair while now, and a lot of it's just not been, it's not been his fault, or B, it was usually misunderstandings. He seems to be copping a lot of heat, and it's a lot of it's just petty heat. And the club as well is copping a lot. You know, obviously you brought up the Vegas story from earlier. Obviously our start to the season was fucking under fire. And now the shit you said about Fags' job on the line because the Brisbane Bear thinks so. Like, it's just, can people just get off our backs? It's fucking April still. Like, it's so frustrating. That'll happen. Oh, yeah, it will. It's always going to happen, dude. That's like the AFL for you. And when you've got fan bases as passionate as this, we've just got to embrace it and be accepting of whatever opinion is coming our way and to not get caught up in it. I used to always get caught up in this sort of shit, and I used to spend hours arguing with people online about, you know, our beloved Lions and fucking all the other teams I support, but I don't do that shit anymore, man. It's just I'm not going to, because people are always going to have shitty opinions, so you just got to let them have it. You know, they'll find out it's wrong sooner rather than later. But of course, Charlie Cameron obviously got off, and Fags put the media in their place, and we moved on. I do think, though, Toby Green and Jesse Hogan are probably going to use that as a argument on their end. They're going to be like, well, the Brisbane Lions got to say Charlie Cameron's got a good record. But, I mean, how are you going to use that for Toby fucking Green? Like, you can't.
I was about to say, yeah.
You can't, dude.
It's, yeah, bit of a can of worms, but, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. I don't think Toby probably won't get off. Jesse Hogan, I don't know, man. To be honest, I don't care whether they do or not. I hope they don't, because that's even better for us. But GWS, they're flying, man. It's a team that I'm confident against them. I'm more confident going into this game than I was the Geelong game, and I was pretty confident going into Geelong. But with GWS, like, they're a great team. They're going to probably finish top four and everything, but right now there's something about them that's just not quite right. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it yet. And it's something we were talking about on the warm-up on Boom Radio last week. Go check out at Boom Radio AU. The warm-up's on Thursday night, 7 till 10. We were just talking about this and sort of saying that something is off with GWS and I can't put my finger on it. No, none of us can figure it out. I don't know if they've got that. I say this about a lot of teams, but I think there's a bit of undisciplined footy going on there. They've sort of... They've been letting the opposition in a lot near the end of the game, and I'm finding this to be a trend in the league this year. It's like a lot of teams are sort of burning out towards the end, and I know it's a, I know footy is a very quick sport where things can just turn around just like that in a game, but this has been happening a lot. A lot of comebacks, and GWS have been leaving their foot off the pedal towards the end of the game, but I'm hoping they do it this weekend. But that being said, we'll preview GWS probably. This one's going to be obviously be at Manuka Oval in Canberra. What are you making of this one? I hope you're not driving down there.
No, I'm not going down there. I'm just going to have a chill weekend. No, money's starting to run out, so you got to balance that shit out. I feel okay. Like I feel like our best footy is like definitely good enough, I think, and it excuse me, it we've, how do I think, like we are not a particularly full strength team right now. Like McKenna's still out, Zach Bailey's still out, obviously Coleman, Ashcroft and Duday. So I think we're doing the best of what we can. I think even Chris Scott in his post-match presser said that like the lines are not traveling as bad as people think they are. Like we just need to like get through some shit, and then eventually like we'll find some form, and hopefully we can make something happen this season. But if in the terms of Green and Hogan potentially going out, if they stay out, I know GWS are contesting both at the tribunal.
Yeah.
If they both are out, not like that's huge for us, I think.
Massive.
And yeah, we've been pretty good away from the Gabba this year, which is nice,
so
for
weird.
A change.
So weird.
We just need to start winning at home games again. But yeah. Yeah, so like it's gonna be an interesting game. I'm very keen for it.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. Like it's gonna be an early Thursday game. Like it's Thursday Arvo, which is exciting. Everyone's on a public holiday because of Anzac Day, which fuck man, beautiful day as well, man. Absolutely phenomenal day. So go down to dawn services if there are ones in your area. Just go do something that morning, do something. Even if it's just standing in your driveway. I'm going down to the dawn service personally to do some content, and then I've got the game to look forward to that afternoon. So I'm super wrapped for this one. I think this is gonna be an awesome game, man. Like I'm just I think just after the shitty wet weather footy, I'm just keen for us to just play in dry weather and just do our thing. You know what the Lions do best in dry weather, just play our fast style of footy. I'm really, really excited for this one. I think it's just it's not going to necessarily make or break our season. I think as you said, with Chris Scott sort of said it best, like the Lions are not traveling as bad as what everyone's sort of making it out to be. And it's true. Like you got to sort of look at the context of our wins and losses, and you know, this is why watching the games actually watching games really makes tipping a lot easier for sure. But it just sort of gives you a idea on how teams are really traveling, because when you look at the ladder after round four or round three, it's gonna be round four actually, yeah, round four because of the opening round bullshit, or round three, Freo were sitting three and nothing. Now, anyone looking at that ladder would be like, holy shit, like these guys must be really good at fucking playing football, like, you know, they have 3-0. When you actually watch the games, like you'll sort of see the story that makes that scoreline. And this is why I say context is king every time. Context to these games is fucking important. Because as a result, like this week on the tipping, I did all right. Like I sort of, there's just some picks I make here and there, really depending on just the little things that, and I'm not trying to say I'm a football connoisseur, because I'm definitely not. But it's just from my perspective, the things I notice in the previous week's game sort of goes into the next week's game, which is what gives me the confidence this week about GWS, and why last week on our radio show we were so unsure about them and had this fucking question mark above them. Don't get me wrong, I still think finals, top four, you just about lock GWS in. They're a quality side. They're a fucking incredible team. But I think there's just something going on in their game that's quite off right now. And if Toby and Jesse Hogan are to be out, that would be just monumental for the Lions' chances coming into this weekend. I think this is the first game, actually, where we're not the favourites on Sportsbet, which is something to not necessarily look deep into, but I just think it's quite an interesting little observation there. I'll grab that up real quick as well. I think... oh, no, it's much closer than I thought. Don't worry. Disregard that. GWS is paying 194. We're paying 190. So it's as even as you can possibly get.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking even as. So I'm expecting an absolute cracker game this weekend. Personally, I think it's just like the Geelong game. I think it's going to be a bit of a grind, but I think we should be able to hopefully run away with this one at the end. I think just we're just such a you got to remember as well, GWS have a pretty young list. They're pretty inexperienced still too. They're just so fucking sharp and so good at what they do, and I just think our experience is going to be the difference maker here. You know, two really really good sides going at it and playing hard, so it's going to be a very interesting game. I'm going to tip the boys probably by about 2 or 3 goals. I don't think it's going to be a smashing by any stretch of the imagination. And that's still 2 to 3 goals even without Toby and Jesse Hogan, because I still think they're stacked with talent. And keeping in mind as well, no Stephen Coniglio.
Oh, really? Is he out as well?
From my knowledge, he's out for quite some time with a knee, because I had him in my fantasy team. And I've had to trade him away because I know he was out for quite some time. So they're going to be without Coniglio. I'm not sure how long. I'm going to look that up real quick.
Damn.
Okay, so no, he escaped a serious knee injury. Shit, I may need to go pick him back up. He had an MCL tear.
It's still fine.
So this was from April 14th by Josh Gablich. Scans have revealed a small MCL tear. He'll miss a couple games against Carlton. So no Coniglio. He's already confirmed to miss this weekend. That's a shame.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah. What's your prediction for this one, mate? How are you sort of feeling about it? I know you sort of already said what you're expecting, but yeah, what are your predictions coming out of this one?
I reckon Brisbane by 21. Few late goals will get up, I think. Yeah, similar to the Carlton game. I think it'll be an arm wrestle and hopefully we pull away, but you never know. It's impossible to predict this fucking team this year.
Dude, this whole season as a whole has been fucked like that. Like, really hard to predict. And I guess that's sort of just it's more telling about the quality of the competition at this point. How fucking even is it, man? Except for the bottom three, it's really even outside of that. And I'm loving every second of it, dude. Like, even if we don't get to the promised land this year, I'm just hoping we give it a really, really good crack and just fucking play our best footy the best we can. I just don't want to see us, like, you know, just giving up and losing easy games because we think it was going to be an easy beat. I know that happened to us a few times last year, and even maybe this year that might have played a role in our early bad form, is maybe just buying into the hype too much. But I personally don't think so. I just think that might be someone's reasoning or a factor of something that could be a possibility. I think there are a whole other reasons for that. But yeah, man, very interesting game ahead, and it should be an absolute cracker. I'm super excited for Thursday, and I'm just glad we got a short turnaround after that, because every time we lose games, man, and it's like, shit, we've got to, like, we lose and then we've got like 8 days till our next game. It's like, it just takes forever. But this one is, you know, Saturday and today's Sunday. And then on Thursday, we're just straight into it again. Really short turnaround. Bit of a concern, obviously, just injury-wise, just because it's like a short turnaround. You don't get much time to recover. But hey, as you said earlier in the show, I'm just grateful we managed to get out of this game with no injuries, because that was probably the thing I was most worried about on Saturday night.
We do have one injury, Oscar McInerney with a concussion. Oh, but other than that, yeah.
We didn't even touch on that today. Shit. Yeah, that's a scary one, man. It's just sad, really.
There's not much to touch on because it's a concussion. It'll be back next week, but it's unfortunate.
Joe's gonna have a big day on the ruck. Actually, no, this is if I'm Fags, I'd be calling him Darcy Fort.
Yeah. Fort, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be getting in Darcy Fort, man, because Joe had a massive night in the ruck, and I think that actually just hindered him a lot. So, there's no one down forward when we get the clearances out, because Joe's too busy in the ruck.
You know what was fucked? Dunkley was in the ruck a few times.
What? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, like a few throw-ins, like it was just there to like put a body on and then like let the crummers do their thing while Joey had a spell on the forward line. It was interesting.
Yeah, it's fucking, they had to get creative with it, eh? Like, and so, yeah, Darcy Fort, mate, get ready to put your fucking kicking boots on, mate, because you're playing this weekend. We're definitely going to need Big Fort out there, man. He's,
Absolutely.
This is just, it's sort of showing, like, we really need to go pick up a true, like, backup ruckman in the offseason. Because I know Darcy Fort's meant to be that, and I'm all for Darcy Fort being that, but it doesn't seem like the club is totally on board with that, because he's not getting game time every game, and it's like, are we really risking Oscar to potentially go off with an injury at any stage of any game this season, only for to take out our best forward in Joe Danaher to put him in the ruck? You know, it's sort of a it's interesting. So it's a concern of mine. I think we just need a fucking true backup ruckman here. You know, when we had Steph Martin, we had the Big O as our backup, and
I reckon we groom Hipwood. As like a backup, because that frees up Danaher. And like, if Hipwood's not having a great night, we can chuck him into the midfield and like do some crazy shit, because he has a lot more athleticism, I think, than Joe. He's a bit more quicker.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
But yeah, like that, I think that'd be interesting. Get him to put on some more muscle, and then get him to do some rock contests with Oscar at training, and then see what we can do.
Dude, as well, like I think that would actually work out a lot better for Hippie as well, because it would sort of get him used to the physicality and sort of not so scared about contact. And when you take that sort of once he's done that for a little bit, put him back in the forward line, and this dude's going to be crashing packs and trying to take like pack marks with nothing to be concerned about, because he's just like, well, I'm the fucking man in the middle, so I'm going to be the man in the forward line. You know what I mean? Like, I think that'll do Hippie a lot of good, not just in his in the ruck, but how he would go in terms of mentality in the forward line too.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting move, man. Very interesting move. Before we wrap this one up, though, I just want to just probably talk just general footy talk. I mean, how are you finding the season now that we're fucking I don't even know what round we're up to, because this opening round bullshit. But how are you feeling about the competition at this point in the season? Who sort of stands out to you? And suppose like just tell me what your thoughts on footy are at the moment. I know you sort of will reveal a lot of this in your essential round review, but give us a little exclusive.
It's a very, very hard season to predict. I have no idea who really is going to have a big year, who's going to fall off. It's a weird fucking year. Fremantle were flying a few weeks ago, and now they're getting belted by West Coast of all people. Like it's impossible.
It's insane.
It was halftime at the Gabba, and we check our phone and West Coast is in front, 40-9 or some stupid shit like that. And it's like, what the fuck? Like,
oh yeah.
It was nuts.
It was absolutely insane, dude. Like, fucking, obviously me being in WA, I think I said this at the top of the show, but just, I want to talk about it properly now. Just me being in WA, the Derby is the biggest thing. I can't get away from it living in Perth. And all my group chats, all my footy group chats and even my TAFE group chat, it was just, it's full of Eagles and Dockers fans just going off at each other's throats and stuff like that. And I personally love watching it because it's just so funny because you're both shit. But it's just, I'm so glad that game was on when it was, and sort of what was going down was happening, because it just sort of made me just, normally when we're losing or we're having a bad night up at the Gabba, I get in my feels a little bit. I know we all do, but I get in my feels and I get a bit sad, and my mates message me being like, oh, what the fuck's going on with the Lions? Or they just start giving me grief and all this. But it's just, with that game, the Derby on, I was just I just didn't really mind what was going on for us, because it was just well, shit happens. And as you said earlier today before we got on air, it is what it is at this point, in terms of result and in terms of being it's such a shit game. And the Derby just made me feel so much better. Honestly, it just made me feel like I didn't have anything to worry about. West Coast were up and about. They were giving Fremantle the absolute fucking business. That scoreline was so ugly at one point. I think the biggest margin it got out to was 50-9 at some stage. And I guess just I got a lot of satisfaction out of that game, just because I've been dealing with a lot of Fremantle fans recently. Now, obviously we had Stu Sterling from the Flagmantle podcast on the show, and he's fucking the only, I remember I was at TAFE on Thursday morning. I had to read news that morning, and Stu was in his in the other studio doing his doing Flagmantle, and I walked out to just go to the toilet and whatever, and he stopped me. And he just fucking asked how I was feeling about the team and all this. And he turned around and he just gave me the most realistic explanation of where his team is at and where Freo is at and how this weekend's a danger game. And it was the most refreshing opinion I've heard from a Fremantle fan on that game, because they were all saying there is no way the Eagles are going to beat us. There is no fucking way. And look what happened, dude. Look what happened. And just that, one little bit more I could add on to this as well is that all the weeks leading up to this, in our group chat at TAFE, there is two West Coast fans for about 6 Freo guys. And every time West Coast are playing, these Freo men are just yapping, just shit. Just being like, oh, only 44 points down at halftime. That's an improvement, huh? Only 80 points down at three quarters. Just being absolute assholes. So to just see that for weeks on end, and then to see the Eagles just give Fremantle the work the way they did, mate, I was fucking over the moon about it, because these guys at TAFE, the West Coast fans, they don't talk shit much. They're pretty humble. I mean, they don't have a reason to talk shit. But even though that their club owns Fremantle, they still don't remind them of it. You know, they know their role. They get on with it. They keep watching their Eagles, not letting them affect it. And these guys will do anything for reaction. But now the shoe's on the other foot, and it made me just so happy to see it, man. So happy to see it. I think it was the reality check that Fremantle has needed for all season long, because those fans are just setting themselves up for false hope. Plus, my old man threw $20 on that game, won 120. I get a booker's fee out of it because it was on my sports bet account. Everyone fucking wins, except for the Freo fans. It was a happy time, man. Happy time. That's my spiel on the derby, though, man. It made me happy, and it just numbed the pain for this game, man. I didn't have to get in my feels about this one. I was actually just content. So, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, man.
It's good shit. But that's probably going to be about it for this week, man. I don't know if you've got anything else you want to add or talk about. Up to you.
I think that's it, man. I'm busting for a piss. So, yeah.
Let's get the fuck out of here then, man. That's been Egg Footy and Jack Wallace, of course, again, with the main event. Go check us out at Main Event Pod. I'm still trying to do my best to just post more content, but TAFE is just draining the fuck out of me right now. So just bear with me. There'll be a lot more content to come later in the season, hopefully as the sort of workload there eases up. But just go there anyway, man. We're always posting awesome stories. We're always trying to interact with our followers. You know, I'll post the occasional cool graphic here and there when applicable. It's just a good time, man. And obviously as time wears on, we're just going to get that page sort of probably more and more cranking. I'm not going to do the same thing on Twitter, but yeah, go give us a follow at Main Event Pod. Lots of fun to be had over there. Till then, we'll see you guys next week on the Main Event Pod covering our game against GWS. Till then, good luck, everyone, and enjoy the footy this Thursday.